Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 167. We're coming at you live on a Thursday night. That means we're previewing the week's fab ahead. Week 25, three more weeks of fab to go in this fantasy baseball season. Get you caught up on some news and notes as well. And so much more banter as we love to do on this show. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on the Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're good. This is night one of that other sport coming back and taking over our timeline. So we did push the show back a solid 5 minutes so that Mahomes and Kelsey and them could have their time in the spotlight, and then we get prime time after that game. So doing well. Pretty good day of baseball. Peaked off by Parker Meadows' grand slam to win it against the Padres tonight. That was pretty cool.
Yes, it was very cool to see. All I saw was they took a 4-3 lead, didn't get a chance to see what it was, and boom, you let me know it was a Parker Meadows grand slam. So that is great to see, because he's been a topic of some tweets lately as a guy that might be worth digging in on next year. So good to see that, of course. For a weird day, it was like four or five evening games, made sure they got done to kind of get out of football's way because, you know, they run the world. Still some fun stuff out there. So we'll see how that goes. We got a couple in the chat already. Let's hope we get this thing popping on a Thursday night.
Chat's going already. I love it. We are not deep into September, but we are in September, and the chat's still good. So we love that.
Yes, indeed. Before we get there, you know, we like to bug you a lot, but FPAS Golf, and I'll let you take the rest. What else do you got for us there? We got some recent news. That's why we're bringing it up again. They dropped an email for us.
Right. Not the same old, but we did. The ink is barely dry on the contract with Ocotillo Golf Club. Signed that this morning electronically. And we've got a block of tee times on Sunday, November 3rd. We just need to fill probably one more foursome. But anyone interested, anyone going to First Pitch Arizona, anyone who lives in the Phoenix area, in Arizona, in Tucson, come on up. Drive down from Vegas, wherever you live. Join us for golf on November 3rd. It's going to be another awesome, awesome time. We have confirmed that we will be doing a live show at First Pitch Arizona. So that'll be the third straight year that we do that. It's looking like we'll be able to do it at night. So that'll be fun. We'll get the entertainment value going there. So we will start prepping and laying that live show out for everyone. That's always a good one. And then I think that's all I had for First Pitch. Price deadline on Friday. This podcast comes out on Friday. Last chance to save 20% on First Pitch Arizona, which is, again, Halloween through November 3rd. And look forward to seeing everyone out there. So it'll be fun.
Yep, going to be an absolute blast. It was fun seeing the updated schedule and kind of getting some more news out there. And they'll send emails out periodically leading up to it to keep us posted on what's going on. And eventually we'll see the podcast schedule, which will be cool. And the rest of the, they still have a few more speakers to figure out. We got the games lining up and all that fun stuff. So fun weekend out there in the desert, and it's not a million degrees, which is always a plus. So come check that
out. It is at your house right now.
Dude, it's been miserable. I'm just, it's rough. Like, I have fans on in here right now because it's.
Oh, that's right. You don't have AC, right?
No AC in this joint, but it's nice down to like 74 outside, so starting to feel better with the windows open. Or we're airing the place out. Life will be good here in no time.
Just want to make sure you make it through the pod tonight, Ami. Don't go overheating.
No, you got me. I got my water. Got my Celsius. You know, if worse comes to worse, I'll go get some more. We're going to power through this as we do each and every week for the listeners here. So let's get to some news and notes real quick here. Ryan's wearing his Casey Moose shirt for Mr. Gialdi,
which is the Freudian slip. As a Buffalo Bills fan, I don't know why I'm wearing a Kansas City shirt tonight, but whatever. I'm in baseball mode.
Yep. It's baseball time. Never stops around here. So some news and notes on Tuesday. We mentioned Justin Steele was having his start scratched on Tuesday. And then later on Wednesday, he went on the IL with right forearm or left elbow tendonitis for Justin Steele. So I'm just going to keep this blatantly simple. He's a drop for me, because that means at best you get maybe one start is the way I look at this. And what are the Cubs playing for?
Right, exactly. Steele is a drop. Kyle Hendricks is not an ad. I don't think. I haven't seen.
He pitched well against the Pirates again. Yeah. Pirates.
He gets a two-step at the Dodgers at Coors Field.
You could have stopped with Dodgers. So
could have stopped. So, no Kyle Hendricks. The Steele thing is interesting. I know this is our Fab show. We'll preview this week. What if Steele does not make another start this year? How does that affect his ADP in 2025? Because we will have to go on for Justin Steele until we see him in spring training is reports from the team. And we know how much we can trust reports from the team. So just kind of fascinating, some of these late season injuries as we're starting to do like 2025 prep, as we start looking through the baseball forecaster a couple months from now, we might see that blurb that Steele finished the season on the IL with an elbow injury. And it's like, I kind of want to see him first before I draft him.
Well, as someone that's already drafted him for 2025, I'll tell you what.
Oh, is he on your team?
Oh, yeah. He's one of my VSPs.
That's right. He's one of your top three.
Yep.
I did not set that up for you. I truly did not know that.
When you made that one comment wondering about ADP, I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I don't think it affects it at all personally.
So Bubba set them in pick on Justin Steele for 2025. I love it.
I'm going to be optimistic, but you are 100% correct. We need to see something somewhere along the lines or trust teams, which, as we know, teams can't be trusted. We've been told that many times this year. So keep that in mind. But interesting one for Justin Steele. Corey Seager on Tuesday, the Rangers said they're going to workload manage Corey Seager. On Wednesday, Corey Seager hit the IL with a hip injury. Ryan, he's another drop for me as well. Now, he could play like two more weeks, but again, what do the Rangers have to play for?
Yeah, probably a drop. I mean, so what, it's 10 days, so you get maybe 2 weeks. But yeah, probably a drop at this point. It is our old friend who will not go away, Josh H. Smith, filling in again.
Hitting third
in that lineup. Qualifies, I want to say everywhere. I can't pull up his page at this second for whatever reason. But decent Swiss Army knife, Josh H. Smith, who probably honestly kind of peaked in the first half, but playing every day, hit the middle of that lineup, could do worse at multiple positions than Josh H. Smith.
And he's swinging it well right now, so definitely he's deep league viable. The multi-position eligibility is tremendous. And batting third, the Rangers are scoring runs right now. Wyatt Langford's woke up. Adelis Garcia went deep on Thursday. Don't count on that all the time, but they're putting runs up right now, so it's not the end of the world. In Texas for fantasy, at least. New York Yankees, you know, we're always talking about saves and potential guys to pick up on the wire. Clay Holmes has been bad. That's probably putting it nicely. On Wednesday, Aaron Boone removed Holmes from the primary closing role, said he's going to get creative with the back end of the bullpen. Said Clay Holmes is still in the mix, but there will be other guys in play there. So I guess the question is, do we hang on to Clay Holmes if you need to make a drop, or how do you assess this Yankees bullpen situation?
It depends how badly you need saves right now. I'm not convinced Holmes is completely out of the role. This may just be a weekend cool down or something like that. So I'd probably hold on to Holmes another week and just kind of see. I have no idea what the Yankees will do. We did not get a read on what they would do on Wednesday or Thursday. On what their bullpen would be. So it could be probably some combination of like Luke Weaver, Tommy Canley, Mark Leiter. All these guys are right-handed. There's like Tim Hill and Tim Mazza as lefties who could sneak in for a matchup save. So to end it shortly, I don't think I am going to be bidding on Yankees relievers and trying to kind of guess the right closer there. It could very much be a committee, and it might be Holmes back in the role next week again.
Jake Cousins has been the popular name, but I agree. A lot of moving parts there. It feels like it could be like a Dodgers situation where three saves go to three different people each week. So see how you want to work that one out. Max Kepler has been out for a few games with a knee injury. And on Thursday, Kepler went on the IL with left knee tendonitis. He'll be out for at least 10 days, which means it's probably retroactive to like the third. So the 13th at least. So midseason again. Kepler's been struggling anyway, so he's a drop for me.
Yep. And I think you really only put this on the outline so you can bring up. So I have to bring up Matt Wallner, right?
Matt Wallner plays every day now, does not platoon, and hit his 11th home run of the season on Thursday, by the way.
There we go. Yes. And yes, Matt Wallner, I mentioned him a week or two ago, finally coming around now that he has been picked up everywhere. But the K rate has gone from Galloian to just bad, which for Matt Wallner, you can live with a bad K rate. As long as it's not in the 40%, it's down to like 30% over the last month, and the power's been there. And the playing time now will absolutely be there. Let's see him play against lefties. I don't know if that'll still happen.
He does.
Didn't start on Tuesday against the lefty. That's the only one they've seen in the last six. But
gotta take a day off once in a while. When you have a big tree fall hard, you gotta take a break. That's right. That's just the reality of the situation. And last bit of news here, Austin Hayes goes back on the IL now with a kidney infection. The Phillies say there's no timetable for his return. Hayes would be a drop for me. He's actually played well with the Phillies, not like jumping off the page great, but played well, deep league viable probably. But for me, he's a drop now. And weirdly enough, like you'd think Brandon Marsh would run away with playing time, but it looks like he's platooning with Weston Wilson. So that's a tough go there in Philadelphia.
One of Uncle Ted's boys, Weston Wilson.
He's MIA right now. Must be a Ravens fan.
Yeah. Hayes, like, God, what could have been? I thought fell into a great situation in Philly at the trade deadline and had two different IL stints that kind of just totally derailed that. So, we move on and we avoid the Weston Wilson, probably Brandon Marsh platoon. Philly gets, according to our grid here for the coming week, Philly's got six games, two against lefties, four against righties. So you get four Brandon Marsh games, probably not six though.
Yep. Not enough. So bummer on that front, but that'll do it for the news and notes. Not too much going on because it's just that time of the year where it's more just guy. It's weird because it's about 40-man rosters. I see it looking at news every day. A lot of guys are just minor, like relief guys going up, down, up, down. That's the majority of what's going on. Matt Chapman signed the deal. Not fantasy relevant right now. That was pretty awesome. I love it. I know people think, like, I know some people think Matt Chapman's not worth it. Like, $25 million in the next couple of years is going to be cheap. So I'll take that in a heartbeat right now for what he brings to the team. But again, not fantasy relevant at this time.
It was funny though, seeing the headline was Matt Chapman scratched entering yesterday's game. I was like, oh no, what the hell? Like, my best player is hurt. And I'm guessing they just gave him the night off because he had the contract extension.
Well, it's what happens. I was watching some of the beat writers, and there's Baggerly or Petrovic or one of them said, just like jokingly, because they all knew they'd been negotiating for an extension. And they said, what if he's just getting scratched to go take a physical for a new contract? That's what they said for fun. Funny. And then Boone goes, he was literally scratched to go take a physical for the new contract. That's what it was. And so, because I was reporting for a first pitch, I just said, I put he was scratched, and I kept searching and searching and searching. Nobody had any information. Finished the show. 3 seconds later, Matt Chapman signed his extension. So there you go. Problem solved. But all right. Let's take a peek at the Week 25 Fab ahead. And Ryan, I'll give you the floor as usual to say what stands out to you when looking at this wonderful schedule grid.
It is. Thank you, my friend. We've got two five-game weeks. Arizona and San Diego are the only teams that play five. We've got, looks like, only six teams that play seven. So most teams have some type of off day next week. It's the Red Sox, Reds, Guardians, Marlins, who face five lefties, which is kind of weird. Those are seven-game teams, along with the Yankees and Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees are starting to run away with the team-best WRC plus on the season with 118. Baltimore in second, 116. Our beloved Chicago White Sox, deep, deep last, who have not been the worst offense over the last month. We'll get to that team when we get there. But 74 WRC plus, just historically bad this year.
Yeah, it is historically bad, and I'll have some nuggets for some splits for a couple teams that are up in that line of bad right now, and they just got no hit the other night, if anyone's curious about that. But there are some teams that are really, really bad at baseball right now, and we expect that in September, but they're taking things to new levels, which is pretty entertaining out there for streaming purposes, unless you stream Albert Suarez, because that's not
dude. That was the whipsaw, wasn't it? Because I had the Cade Povich stream.
Yep.
That worked out. And then the next day it was Albert Suarez. And I think Nicky Lopez hit his first home run of the season.
First of the season. Yes, he did. So. Yeah, Suarez got three home runs. JP Sears, Seattle's been atrocious versus lefty. Sears gets lit up. Sears has been really good. Like there is a slew of them. Bobby Miller still sucks. Bad knee or no knee, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's been a rough week. If you're in Roto, it's still rough. If you're in the head-to-head championships right now,
oh god!
Because I saw a lot of tweets about that. Yeah, One reason why I don't play head-to-head, but
don't get me started about. Don't get me started about. I love head-to-head. Why do we attach playoffs to it? Why do we have playoffs?
Yeah, because that's just not right. But all right, let's talk about it now that we just derailed the thing, because I'm good at that on this show, and we'll do it multiple times as we go on here. Arizona Diamondbacks, they have five whopping games this week. They get Texas and Milwaukee all at home. Texas for two, Milwaukee for three. Looks like four righties, but the five-game series, does that still excite you at all when it comes to fantasy this week?
I mean, not really, not in terms of pickups. I know we talked about Randall Grichuk maybe starting to pick up playing time with the Lourdes Gurriel IL stint and promptly sat on the bench on Wednesday against the righty. So it looks like Randall Grichuk is still, to me, on a short side platoon. I'm still on Josh Bell watch to see how often he plays with Christian Walker back.
Still playing a lot, weirdly enough.
He's played every game since Walker's back. Spelled Walker against a righty on Wednesday and played first base while Walker sat. So maybe Josh Bell continues to kind of scrap up enough playing time between first base and DH to make that work. So the only other thing I have on Arizona is Merrill Kelly kind of got lit up in his first start back from the IL, but looked really good today. So I, you know,
who do you play? Like, come on, matchup. Who do you play?
Who did they play?
The Giants.
That's not
White. I still like Merrill Kelly, but anytime I can bash.
Give old man Merrill some credit, but
I like Merrill still. I'm with you.
I'm guessing Kelly was already picked up and is probably widely rostered, but maybe dropped after a tough first start. So looked Merrill a lot Kelly's better today.
91% rostered right now.
All right. 12 teamers.
Yeah. 12 team OCs, yes. 91%. So but if he's available, like if you're in Yahoo's, I was writing the fab column last week and Lawrence Butler was 51% rostered in Yahoo. So, go check your wires, folks. There's a lot of moves you can be making out there. It's the least I can say. Atlanta Braves, they have six games coming up this week, and this is a fun schedule they have coming at us here because they get on Monday, they face Cincinnati at home. Then they go to Washington. Then they go to Washington for two, day off on Thursday, and then a weekend series back at home against the Dodgers. So, one versus the Reds, go on the road for two against Washington, back at home for three against the Dodgers. And it looks like five righties out of those six games for Atlanta, but it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
No, it doesn't. And I'm not going to sit here again and say Jared Kelnick, but he will play against those five righties. I don't really have much here. I streamed Whit Merrifield in a bunch of leagues this week, and he unfortunately got hit in the head, which is pretty scary.
In the head. Oh,
sorry. Where's that from?
So it's Step Brothers in the face.
Okay.
Sorry. I know some listeners would get that. Yes. It's late. It's late on a Thursday.
We'll see. If you got it, let us know. I did like Whit Merrifield. Hopefully his head's okay. I know there were some, I think he passed the concussion protocol, yes. So still a little woozy. So hope he's okay, but like Luke Williams is filling in for Merrifield right now. That's not interesting to me. So, no, I don't have really anything on the Braves. Hell of a rotation they got going right now. They could be scary in the playoffs.
Yep, they will be. That's what it's looking like. Baltimore Orioles, six games coming up this week, all on the road. Three at the Boston Red Sox, three at the Detroit Tigers. Pretty juicy looking schedule for Baltimore with four righties, two lefties. It's not a whole lot of ad drops you can make to make that work for you.
Yeah, not a whole lot of ad drops on the hitting side. I wonder if Cade Povich, so I mentioned Cade Povich at the top, so it did have that 10 strikeout game, 7 1/3. It was against the White Sox, but Cade Povich lines up for a two-step this coming week at Boston and at Detroit. So
I'd do it.
I think I picked up Povich last week for that stream, and I think I'm just going to leave him in. this coming week. So that was the big thing I saw with Baltimore. I didn't really see anything on the hitting side.
Okay, question for you, and many people will say I'm absolutely insane for this comment, but I'm used to that by now. Corbin Burns is broken, like bad.
Whoa.
And it's Detroit, so Detroit's not great, of course, but like I think Corbin Burns is broken bad. Like he did bounce back and finish his last start in a reasonable manner, I will say. Only one run over five innings, but he's not striking guys out. He's not going deep into games. What's your thoughts on Corbin Burns? Like my question is, like, say you have three pitchers on your bench and you have some other guys that may be better in, like, one guy faces the White Sox per se. I'm just throwing out ideas. Would you bench Corbin Burns?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. I think it's I wouldn't say he's broken. The velocity's still there. Yes, the K's have been down. I didn't realize how bad it has been lately, but I mean he hasn't been like awful. He still got the control, 6% walk rate over the last month. Like I said, velocity is actually up half a tick. Still missing bats. I would still roll with Corbin Burns.
Okay, because you know what his stat line reminds me of is Kevin Gausman, because of the lack of strikeouts, I should say. So just for fun here, would you rather have Gausman versus the Mets or Burns versus Detroit?
Go Burnsy.
Okay, I'm not going to go over every team, but I just don't think Burns is that easy of an automatic lock. Is where I'm at.
No, that's fair. The strikeouts have absolutely not been there for Corbin Burns, and come for him at the absolutely wrong time. Do you know who Corbin Burns' last start was against? It was the White Sox. Only four K's in five innings. So,
and he gave up the runs in the first inning too. It looked like he was about to just get shelled in that game. And then he bounced back enough. And he's pitching over the weekend, so I believe he pitches this Sunday. So maybe we'll see a better start from him. But I've just been kind of wary of the way things have been going with Corbin Burns. Boston Red Sox, they have seven games coming up this week. Three at home versus the Baltimore Orioles. And then four with their friendly foes, the New York Yankees in the Bronx, to top things off. You got three lefties, four righties. So that makes platooning difficult. But Ryan, let me drop a bit of news here. If you have this already, I apologize, but I just put this on my stuff for tonight. Trevor Story should be back Friday or Saturday. He went four for five. Yeah, he's been rehabbing all week. He went 4 for 5 on Thursday with two RBIs, a stolen base, played seven innings. He'll either be activated Friday or Saturday. So Trevor Story should be back. When it comes to this weekend, Trevor Story is 5% rostered in OCs. Sure.
Yeah, so that's big news.
That could be fun. And then this probably doesn't have as much of an impact, but more of a feel-good story. Liam Hendricks will be back this weekend as well. So that's great to see also. But, yeah, Trevor Story back Friday or Saturday. They're thinking Friday, but they might give him an extra day because he's basically played four straight games. He DH'd like one of them, but he's ready to roll.
And at shortstop, at second base, right now they're rolling with, like, Nick Sogard there. Up the middle, maybe a combo of both. I don't know.
I could see him going to second, leaving Rafaela at short.
That would make sense.
Yeah,
because they're not going to sit Rafaela. They should sit Nick Sogard. No, that's a big deal. Trevor Story has come back late in seasons before and been a big stolen base guy too. So I mean, who knows what he's going to do over the last 3 weeks? But that came out of the blue. He's springing these breaking news things on me in the middle of the show, but I like it.
Yep, so it surprised me when I saw it about 45 minutes ago, so we'll see where that goes. Anything else with Boston, as I know I stole a lot of fun there with the Trevor Story stuff.
No, I'm glad you did, because I don't have – I mean, Willie Abreu's roster, Yoshida's roster, they're the good Red Sox are gone. The bad Red Sox shouldn't be on your team anyway, and really it's not that many bad Red Sox, especially if Story kind of comes in and clears out Nick Sogard. So, no, I do not have much there.
I know my thoughts on this one, but I've been asked it by a couple people recently. You dropping Tanner Houck?
What we got schedule-wise for Houck?
For Houck and the Boston Red Sox, Houck has a two-step, Baltimore and the Yankees. And then the next week gets Minnesota. So that's...
I think you keep him and start him through the two-step and see how it goes. I mean, so the last six starts, he's got 27 strikeouts, 12 walks. Like, it hasn't been that bad. I know he has kind of rebounded a little bit after some really bad outings. But yeah, 7 Ks his last start at the Mets, 6 Ks at Detroit. Last 4 starts, 14, 21, 23 strikeouts in his last 4 starts. So, no, I would roll with Tanner Houck this week.
Yeah, I dropped him recently, so I was just curious.
He was bad. He was really bad. He's starting to steer the ship a little bit, but bad plus the workload concerns that were already there for us. So,
yep,
I get it.
Chicago White Sox, they have 6 games coming up this week, all at home. Cleveland Guardians for 3, Oakland Athletics for 3, 2 lefties, 4 righties, Chicago White Sox.
No, I don't even think I've got anything on them.
Nope, nothing worth having.
Yep. That's for sure. Let's look at the right side of this grid here. Who's pitching against the White Sox, right? So it's Tanner Bibee. He's rostered. But like Ben Lively? What's that?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I'll
let you keep going. All right. Yeah. You're going to let me walk, jump over the plank here mid thing. But you got Ben Lively. That's a scream, I think. Ben Lively's not that great. Like the stuff is not that great, but it's the White Sox. You've got Matthew Boyd. Lefty against the White Sox. White Sox are just atrocious against lefties. You've got JT Ginn, and JT Sears.
Sir.
Did I miss one?
You missed one, yes.
Who did I miss?
Starts with a B, ends with an O. It doesn't smell.
Osvaldo Beto starts against the White Sox this week. So all of those guys, Lively, Boyd, Beto, Ginn, and Sears, and I think especially Sears and Boyd as lefties.
Yes.
I think are great streams this week against the White Sox.
And Ginn is definitely worth it as well. 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 Ks against Seattle. He went into Great American, 5 innings, 4 runs, 4 Ks. Okay, so be it. But overall, pretty promising stuff there from Ginn. All these guys are in play. I'm 100% with you on this one. Now, it's 6 games. The White Sox might hit in 2 of them. That's just the reality of baseball.
That's
just how it works. But if you stream enough, you will turn out victorious in this situation. That's just the brass tacks to it. And I've had Sears rostered for a while in a lot of formats. I have, obviously, Osvaldo Beto rostered in a lot of formats as well. It's a big week all around with this type of stuff. So good call on checking the opposition in that one, because that is a promising situation. Cleveland Guardians, they have 7 games coming up this week. They have 3 at the White Sox, so get ready for that. 4 against the Rays, all right-handed pitching for the Guardians to face this week. Problem is unless I'm overthinking things, there's one guy if you're feeling frisky.
Yeah, I've got Kyle Manzardo. I don't know if that's who you're thinking.
That's the guy, yeah.
Hit the hell out of ball in AAA, has 2 home runs this week, so a little bit harder contact. I know. The first taste of major league pitching for Manzardo was admittedly terrible, but this is how prospects work. They can come back up the second time and you never know. So especially in all 7 right-handers, we skipped Cincinnati, by the way. We'll go back to
that right now.
Yeah, no worries.
I skipped the Cubs too, so don't you worry about it. I'm having a good one here.
Yeah, man, you're just trying to get through this, aren't you?
Yep.
Timber. No, I think Manzardo, like in deep leagues, if you need a corner, I think it's worth a stab. The other one I've got, I looked this up before the show. Alex Cobb is only 20% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. Looked very good in his most recent start, going, I think, perfect through 6 innings. So Alex Cobb, that ownership rate seemed very low to me, 20%. So go out there and get him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of people, when he got hurt again, just kind of bounced on him and gave up on the Cobb situation, and they shouldn't have. So I'm with you 100% on that. Should definitely get back in the situation there. All right, back to the Chicago Cubs here. They have 6 games coming up this week. 3 at the Dodgers, and then 3 in wonderful Coors Field for the Cubbies. 1 lefty, 5 righties on tap. Unfortunately, I don't think Pete Crow Armstrong is available anymore. Actually, he's 97% rostered.
Yep.
So 3% of you can go get Pete Crow Armstrong. Other than that, what are you looking for here with the Cubbies? Because Porter Hodge should be the only closer now. That got cleared up because Jorge Lopez went on the IL.
That's what I had. That's the only thing I had with the Cubs. So yes, PCA up to 90%. That's 97%. That ship has sailed. Miguel Amaya had a hot week a couple weeks ago. Could run hot, could run not. So that's just that again. That's baseball. Porter Hodge is the one. Yep, the takeaway probably is the guy for the Cubs who have not had a save opportunity all week. But Porter Hodge, if he needs saves, is good and probably has a job with Lopez on the IL.
Yeah, they're scoring too many runs right now. The Cubs offense is
Yes. Dansby Swanson.
I was just about to say, I'm looking him up for his roster rate as you said that out loud.
He's up there. Well, he's
98 still.
Yeah.
Not enough people gave up on him.
Dansby Swanson is on fire. Traded him to Ray Murphy, by the way, in Tout Wars earlier this
You know, you're going to keep your job year, if so. You didn't.
Yeah, it's gotta appease the higher ups with that one. It was Jonathan India for Dansby Swanson, so not awful, but Swanson.
Yeah, no, I like that deal. That's fair.
Needed second base.
That's fair, and it still has both of you guys behind me, so it's okay. Cincinnati Reds, they have 7 games coming up this week. They have that wraparound game in Atlanta on Monday, then they go to St. Louis for 3, and then to Minnesota for 3. So they're on the road, 3 cities in 7 days. That's always fun. But it looks like we have 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Cincinnati Reds. Anything standing out to you on this one?
2 things. 1 on the hitter side, Ty France, been hitting really well and hitting .333 over the last month with 3 home runs, and has really settled into the everyday first base role, hitting like 5th or 6th most days in the Reds lineup. So more so than like a Kyle Manzardo, which is more of a flyer, I think Ty France is actually a pretty legitimate corner infield pickup. I might want to say buyer beware on this next guy. Rhett Lauder gets a 2-step next week. Tons of prospect pedigree. Surface stats look great through his first 2 starts. The strikeouts and walks is kind of ugly, though. Lauder gets at St. Louis, at Minnesota for that 2-step next week. And I think you're going to have to spend a lot in fab to get him, or what it kind of, not whatever you have left, but a good chunk. And I don't know if that's the right play or not. Could be wrong, but the skills haven't been, the results are much better than the skills. You tack on a 2-step, you tack on the prospect stuff with Rhett Lauder, I think he's going to be kind of pricey.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like the prospect stuff looks great. What we've seen so far doesn't have me like jumping to get too excited. Like, I'd rather go get JT Jin against the White Sox or something like that, and see where that goes.
You won't have to pay for him.
Bingo.
But again, there's only 3 fab periods left too. So like, what the hell? But yeah, I don't know.
Let's see for fun here. Rhett Lauder has 2 starts next week, St. Louis and Minnesota, both on the road. Following week, he would be at home against the Pirates. That's not bad. And then the final week of the year, he'd be at the Chicago Cubs. So he has 4 starts left. They're not the hardest starts, but they're not all cakewalks either. So how often would you use him would be my question to justify the move.
Yeah.
So something to think about this time of the year. That's the fun stuff here. All right. Now we get back on track here. Colorado Rockies, they have 6 games coming up this week. 3 at the Tigers, 3 at home versus the Cubs, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Colorado Rockies, Ryan, they aren't good at baseball.
No, they're not. And it's just very weird, sounding like a broken record, that even when the Rockies are at home, like they are against the Cubs next weekend. I mean, where are you going here? You're not getting Charlie Blackmon. Nolan Jones has been awful. Jordan Beck hasn't really done anything in the majors. Drew Romo, no. So, like, there are some good Rockies. Tovar, Doyle, Brendan Rodgers has been on fire lately, but I think they're pretty much universally rostered. So it's just weird to be so down on Rockies hitters, but I don't see who you'd pick up this week.
Well, I was about to head to Detroit here, but since they're playing Detroit, I'll ask you this. Casey Mize returned on Thursday through 5 1/3, 3 earned, 2 strikeouts versus the Padres. Now he gets the Rockies at home in Detroit. Would that interest you at all?
That would interest me. That would very much interest me.
And that's what professionals do. As we segue into the Detroit Tigers, folks, who play 6 games this upcoming week, 3 at home versus Colorado, 3 at home versus Baltimore, 2 lefties and 4 righties. It seems like we've added most of the important players by now, but does anybody else interest you in Detroit besides Casey Mize?
Not really. A little bit of Trace Sweeney in deeper leagues if you need a middle infield option. Sweeney is basically their starting shortstop against right-handed pitching, so we get 4 starts next week. But yeah, very deep leagues, and I don't know. We talked about Chase Young a little bit last week's pod, but has not done much with his opportunity at third base in Detroit. So I don't see much here.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. Houston Astros, they have six games coming up next week. Three at home versus Oakland, three at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That is a beautiful schedule, folks. But three lefties and three righties, which takes the beautiful out of the situation. Ronel Blanco's in the bullpen for anybody that missed that memo last Sunday. They are officially skipping his start on this Sunday. That was announced on Thursday, which basically says bye-bye in that situation.
Yep, probably. God, I can't get over that Spencer Arrighetti nine earned run fiasco. They did not change the Jeremy Pena play to an error, did they? It's still nine.
Nope.
Nine earned runs. That was tough. Astros are somewhat of a line change lineup right now. And so given the 3-3 split for next week, can't really start any John Singleton, Hayward, those types of guys. Is this the week, Bubba? Is this the week where your guy comes back?
Well, latest report on Thursday is the Astros are quote unquote hopeful that Kyle Tucker returns on Friday. So we'll know by the end of the week how that shakes out. But it's like, man, they got me very optimistic, and then we're back to hopeful stuff here. I don't know what they're waiting for. It's either just hang it up for the year or get back on the dang field. That's the way I see it. We're just wasting everybody's time here.
Make sure his leg's healthy, man, because they need him for the postseason.
They're saying Friday, so we'll see. We'll see how that works. I'm holding hope for Friday.
And so, like, Ben Gamble.
Who cares about the postseason? I don't care about the postseason. When did you become an Astros fan? I'm just kidding.
I am not. And no, we don't care about the postseason. We don't.
All right. Kansas City Royals, they have six games coming up this week. Three at the Yankees, three at the Pittsburgh Pirates, one lefty and five righties coming your direction here. So are you gonna say it again? Are you going to do your boy?
Mount Massey, climb Mount Massey again?
Yep. You're going to climb Mount Massey.
I'll say it. Good middle infield option, bunch of righties. So I like Massey. Tommy Pham, for as bad as the St. Louis stint was, is leading off every day. I think he hit a three-run home run this week on Wednesday. So Tommy Pham is only 36% rostered. I feel like with every new team, Tommy Pham gets like a two-week bump, and then his team gets tired of his ass, and then he leaves. But hey, we got 3 weeks left in the season, so take a leadoff hitter when you can, because the plate appearances will be there, I think, for Tommy Pham. A little bit of a scare this past week with Lucas Erceg. Forget exactly what the injury was, but he's fine. Had picked up the Wednesday save for the Royals and should be pretty stable in that role from here on out.
The one thing I'll say about Pham and company is watch this weekend, because Hunter Renfroe got activated from the IL on Thursday. He was the usual right fielder every day. So it's either Pham goes to the bench or Renfroe goes to DH, where Michael Massey was DHing because Mikel Garcia was playing second and Paul DeJong was playing third, because Paul DeJong has been hitting. Mikel Garcia has not. So it's a lot of what ifs. See how the lineups look this weekend, because someone's going to be the odd man out in this situation. I doubt they're going to platoon Renfroe. I doubt it. Anything's possible. If they do, he doesn't play more than one game next week, probably. So keep that in mind. But Renfroe is a viable player. He's hitting well over 300 in the week prior to getting put on the IL. He was like finally starting to hit the baseball. So that's kind of a bummer. But I'd keep an eye on that. And DeJong, 46% roster, swinging it well. I'm going to shout out MJ Melendez again. 36% rostered rate. Dude's hitting the baseball. So I'll say, Mount Massey, I'll say Melendez. That's what we're to keep doing on the show.
Can any of these guys just hold a first base glove and just slide on over to first base? I know we've got Yuli Gurriel.
Yes. Like, DeJong should be able to play first base, or Renfroe, you'd think.
Anybody. Just switch over to first, and all of our problems are solved.
Yuli Gurriel is almost as old as me. Holy crap. Well, that is unbelievable. He's basically, do the quick math on this one, he's like 10 months younger than me.
Gurriel?
Yeah.
He's ancient.
He's 10 months younger than me. That's saying a lot for the old jokes I get on the show. Gurriel is that old. All right. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, six games coming up this week. Three at the Minnesota Twins, three at home versus the Houston Astros. Two lefties, four righties. All I'm going to say, and you can laugh all you want,
Reed Detmers.
Well, Detmers and Griffin Canning. Mickey Moniak is crushing baseballs right now. Crushing baseballs right now. Like, ridiculously hitting well. And I think that makes for a fun pickup in most formats, especially with at least four righties. Moniak 6% rostered. So that was that. I'll let you talk for a bit, and then I'll jump back in on this pitching conversation.
Yeah, no, I thought you were going Reed Detmers there. My apologies. Moniak has been hitting the hell out of ball, but still not playing against lefties. Did not start tonight against lefties, but in a four-start week, deeper league, Moniak, perhaps. Reed Detmers, so struck out 10 in his return against the
Dodgers.
Is 22% rostered in NFBC 12-teamers, and I believe gets the two-step, gets Minnesota and Houston.
Nope, just gets one because they have a six-man rotation right now.
Okay.
He gets a two-step the following week unless that rotation changes. But the following week,
it's Monday, but he doesn't pitch. Yeah, okay. Yep. Never mind.
What I want to mention with Griffin Canning, and Ben brought this to my attention on Monday, so Canning pitched great again versus the Dodgers, and he's put together a handful of good starts here of late. There's been a speed bump here and there, but he's pitched pretty well. Gets Minnesota this week, not the most ideal. The final 2 weeks of the year, White Sox and White Sox for Griffin Canning. So if you want a dollar pickup in the near future, Griffin Canning is the guy to do right now because everyone will be targeting him in the final 2 weeks.
We've got resident Angels fan Scott Burks in the chat who says Jack Kochanowicz has five straight quality starts for what it's worth.
He pitched well on Thursday. He did.
My man has in his last four starts, four quality starts, seven strikeouts.
Yeah, a lot of pitches.
How is that possible? He has an 8% strikeout rate.
Yeah,
Uncle Ted special. I like that. That's a good call.
Well, as Dom says, Kochanowicz has two White Sox starts as well, like Griffin Canning the rest of the way.
Look at this. Man, I don't know if I can do that, but that's wild.
Yeah, that's wild. I'd rather have Griffin Canning, but that's great. Go for it. Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the Dodgers. No more Kochanowicz around here. Dodgers, three games at home versus the Cubs, three at the Atlanta Braves, two lefties, four righties. Landon Knack is starting on Sunday in place of Clayton Kershaw. So if he sticks around, maybe there's something there. I know you used to have a little bit of a soft spot for Landon Knack, but Yoshinobu Yamamoto returns on Tuesday. That to me is the biggest impact here.
Yep, that's the big one. Returns on Tuesday.
97% rostered. Good God.
What is it?
97%.
Wow. Tuesday against the Cubs. So that is back. The Dodgers need Yamamoto to be healthy. And another one, kind of the anti-Justin Steele in terms of 2025 ADP, if Yamamoto comes back and shoves in September, he's skyrocketing up ADP next year. So I feel like Walker Buehler's pitched better of late. Bobby Miller's been up and down. Did just get blown up by the Angels.
Destroyed.
But did have like eight strikeouts. I don't know. The velocity's still there. I'm not totally giving up on Bobby Miller quite yet. He does get the Cubs, who are hitting the hell out of the ball, like we talked about. So probably a bench. Is facing the facade on Wednesday, so does have that going for him. But no, Yamamoto returning is huge for the Dodgers. Gives them some rotation stability.
I do agree with Dom here saying Yamamoto is going to get the Darvish three-inning pitch start special.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, they're inching him back for the postseason. He's not coming out throwing deep right out the gate. Like, he was technically supposed to throw another rehab start, and they decided to bring him up with all the injuries they had. I think they'd rather get three innings in the bigs with him type situation. So I agree completely. Miami Marlins, they have seven games coming up this week. They have three at the Pittsburgh Pirates, four at the Washington Nationals. And since you play the Washington Nationals, you got five lefties this week and two righties because all four Nationals are righties because that's how they roll. You know, you don't play Irvin, you face all lefties in the White Sox starting rotation. So five lefties, two righties, Miami Marlins.
Yeah, but like who do you grab? I know we had Dom venting in the chat earlier about I want to say it was Derek Hill, who again on paper like I think a great pickup, but just is
he sat for three straight lefties.
I know. So you can't. I mean, that's crazy. That's
ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Those lefties.
I don't know, man. You got Christian Pache. You can't bench Pache in that situation, or Griffin Conine for that matter, who even got a start against the lefties. So
Connor Norby's only 74%. That's where you go if you can do it.
Yeah, I guess. I think you. I think you can't stream. You can't stream Bailey Falter. I don't think you talked about how bad Luis L. Ortiz was. You could probably stream DJ Hers in deeper leagues. Your guy, Patrick Corbin, who did pitch well. First start of this two-step. We'll see how he does this weekend, but would line up for Miami. So I do think the Marlins are in that, not quite White Sox mode, but like stream against this team.
Yep, I'm 100% with you on that one. And that's about it with Miami. Not a whole lot to enjoy there. Milwaukee Brewers.
Sorry, real quick. Dom in the chat. 958 OBP and a 161 WRC plus against lefties for Derek Hill. I know those are just kind of numbers. Those are like Bonzian numbers against lefties this year for Derek Hill, who again,
Hill's a beast versus lefties. It's foolish baseball. Bad teams stay bad. That's what I always like to say. Milwaukee Brewers, six games coming up next week. Three at the Giants, three at the Arizona Diamondbacks, three lefties, three righties. Boo-hoo.
Yeah, and along the common theme of Derek Hill, Garrett Mitchell. Still kind of stuck in a platoon, but hitting very well. Two homers, three steals this past week. Three homers, five steals over the last month. Doesn't play against lefties, but we don't even know if he can hit or not hit against lefties. Garrett Mitchell has 54 career plate appearances against lefties in the big league. So I would love to see Milwaukee. I know it's a crowded outfield, but not so much without Christian Yelich in the fold. I'd love to see them play Garrett Mitchell some more. Two catchers stream. So this is just right up your alley, Bubba, but with three lefties, maybe some El Gary Sanchez, if you need a second catcher with a pulse who's going to play probably three times and hits lefties pretty well.
Yep, don't hate that. I know one you always laugh at me about, but if you need a stream, Frankie Montas takes on the Giants. It's not the worst thing you can do. There is some legs to that, as some might say. So you got Saivaldi with a two-step. I'd skip that. I'd rather have Frankie Montas. But, yeah, got that going for you. Minnesota Twins. Oh, this is beautiful for the line change. Six games coming up this week, all at home. Three versus the Angels, three versus the Reds, one lefty, five righties. And folks, I need to stop saying this, but you guys need to add him more. He's only 82% rostered, and that's Matt Wallner. So fix that. And then our boy Larnach, still only 12%, Brian. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Larnach hasn't like set the world on fire, but probably will lead off or at least sit near the top of the lineup against all these righties. So Trevor Larnach said a decent add. I don't know. The rest of the line change is like dead. I mean, Kirilloff is gone. Kepler's on the IL. Gone. You've got Edward Julian kind of hanging out, but I don't think you want to go there unless you're in an OBP or points format, which a lot of you might be. So maybe you look at Edward Julian in those formats up the middle.
If you're in non-NFBC leagues and you have deeper waiver wires, David Festa has been great, folks. Go check that out. He's got a good matchup versus the Angels. So that's one I'd put on the radar as well.
And also, Steven in the chat did not pick this up, but yes, greenest of green on our grid here for the K-minus walk facing Minnesota this week, a 5% strikeout minus walk rate, which is a hitter's dream. 5% is what the six pitchers going against the Twins are averaging this season, probably because of Scott's boy, Kakanowicz. And then you've got Aldegary, Aguiar. We talked about Rhett Lauder. The strikeout walks haven't been there. So a really favorable schedule in terms of like they don't really face any good pitchers this coming week.
And, you know, we always say we have some very smart listeners, and Adam nails this one here. Wallner, 82% roster, tells me 18% of teams have quit for the year. Totally agree.
Just fair. Yep.
Totally Just agree. Fair. That's a beautiful thing. All right. The New York Mets, they have six games coming up this week. Three at the Toronto Blue Jays, three at the Philadelphia Phillies, two lefties, four righties for the Mets. Do you go to Winker time?
That's who I had. So Winker, 70%, still only 70% rostered in those 12 teamers, hitting the hell out of the ball right now and playing every day against right-handed pitching. So that's my hitter ad for the Mets. I don't think there's really anyone else there on the pitching side. Your boy McGill might be getting booted again. He's gone. Right? Because Blackburn's coming back. So
Blackburn comes back for a potential two-step next week. Miguel, be gone.
And would you throw that potential two-step at Toronto, at Philly?
Put the Maggie. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't. At Philly scares me big time.
At first blush, I'm going to go with a no for me.
Okay.
All right. The New York Yankees got seven games coming up this week, all at home. They get three versus the Royals, then four against Boston, as we said earlier. Six righties out of those seven games for the New York Yankees. Jason Dominguez keeps destroying baseballs in the minor leagues. If you just like to speculate for nothing important, you got that going for you. Other than that, are you going for Anthony Rizzo? What are you looking at here, Ryan?
That's who I brought up. Was I know I call a lot of guys your boy on this fine program, but Anthony Rizzo literally was your most rostered player entering this season. So I can.
Did you see my tweet on Monday?
No, what did you do?
It was like tongue in cheek going. I was so excited to put Anthony Rizzo back into all of my DCs this week because like literally I had like three of them where I had no active first baseman for over a month. Cause like when Christian Walker went on the IL, I had no first basemans in like three leagues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. And DCs, that is, I mean, I'm starting like Reese Hoskins in a bunch of leagues. I think I'd probably go Rizzo over.
Oh yeah. Over you're better off putting, a dead player in place for Reese Hoskins right now.
Yeah, tough, but fair. Where would you, so in terms of fab this week, like, so I mentioned Ty France. I mentioned Kyle Manzardo earlier as potential pickups. Where would you slot Rizzo in there? I think I'd go France, Rizzo, Manzardo, knowing Manzardo probably has the highest ceiling. But that's, I don't know, those are just a few options at first base corner for you this week.
I think that's fair. I might lean Rizzo, extra game. Well, maybe not just with the one lefty, but pretty favorable matchups. Like the Royal series, kind of Singer and Lugo are tricky, but like Criswell, Crawford, and Houck have been very sketchy, and even Bayo to an extent has been sketchy. So I think there's a couple big games for the Yankees coming up. There could be totally just throwing things at the wall here. France has been much better at home than on the road. It's just top of my head, could be wrong there as well, but like I've had France for a while. I picked them up the first week they played all at home, played great, stunk on the road, played great again this past week. So it could be one of those type of scenarios also. So. Oakland, well, and we already said nothing about the closer situation, so we're good there. Luis Eel returns on Friday. Clark Schmidt returns over the weekend, so that'll be the last piece of bit of news I'll put here. If you're a Clark Schmidt fan like our buddy John Fish is, 45% rostered in 12s, Clark Schmidt could help out there. He has the Red Sox this week. Next week, it's the Oakland A's. And the following week, the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Clark Schmidt could pay some dividends down the stretch.
Yeah, I like that schedule, and I like Clark Schmidt. Too bad for John Fish. Clark Schmidt needs to make about 25 more starts for him to hit that innings limit, but it's okay.
As Dom says, because I know Dom wants him up here, does Jason debut tomorrow or against the Royals at home next week? Yeah, as Gialdi says, Dom, he's not ready. You know, he's only hitting like 360 over the last week in AAA. He's not ready yet. So Aaron Boone's a moron. It's probably not his decision, but I'm just going to keep saying that. Oakland Athletics, they have six games coming up this week, three against Houston, three against the White Sox, all on the road. So we know that back half of the week is very nice. Front half, Verlander, Arrigetti, Brown, not the best, but one lefty, five righties. The one lefty will pitch three innings, probably maybe four. Then you get the White Sox bullpen. This is a great week for the A's, but most, not all, are rostered.
Agreed. And in the spirit of me naming every team's first baseman as we go down here, like honestly, Seth Brown is probably the only one that's worth at least looking at in deeper leagues. Your good A's, Butler, Rooker, Blade, who are just tearing the collective cover off the ball, 1-2-3 in that lineup are rostered, but Seth Brown's been hitting it pretty decent, does qualify at outfield too, so, and is playing outfield, so decent outfield add, I think, is Seth Brown. And then yes, start those Oakland starters against the White Sox next weekend.
Yep, that's the way to go. 100% agree on that one. Philadelphia Phillies, they have six games coming up this week, all at home, three versus Tampa, three versus the Mets, two lefties and four righties for the fighting Phils. But as we say most weeks with the Phillies, there's really not a lot going on here.
No, there's not. Alec Bohm has been one of those almost an entire IL stint without being on the IL.
Yep.
Has missed six in a row, but I mean, some combination of what, like Cody Clemens and Edmundo Sosa. I think you recommended 1 week.
Yes, I did, and I caught a lot of flack for that for a while. Yes,
but I don't think we go to that. And Bohm is probably back soon, but just frustrating for anyone who has Bohm to not get really much clarity on that situation. But it doesn't sound serious, but who knows?
Something worth watching is the Phillies are calling up one of their top pitching prospects, Seth Johnson, to pitch on Sunday in place of Tyler Phillips, who got shellacked.
Yeah. He got nailed again, didn't he?
Just destroyed in that first start. And Johnson made 20 starts at Double A this year, but his final three starts have been at Triple A, where he's not been bad. 16 innings, one earned run in those three starts, 13 strikeouts, does have six walks as well. So that could be something to be desired. Just something to keep in mind, like RotoWire has Coby Allard in there, but if Seth Johnson pitches well on Sunday, he probably sticks in the rotation and be like Mets, Cubs. So probably not the best thing, but deeper leagues might have some viability at some point in time.
Should get run support if he can go five.
Exactly. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have six games coming up this week, three against Miami, three against Kansas City, all at home in Pittsburgh. Six righties for the Pirates in this one. Like, I love Rowdy. He's played like good real life baseball or okay real life baseball. Fantasy's fallen off the map. I dropped him a while ago. But what do you like in this situation?
Rowdy's been like pitching semi regularly.
Yeah, I saw a great tweet that he said he should have dual eligibility like Shohei.
Yeah, I mean, like seriously, I want to say he has like four or five relief appearances this season. It's kind of weird. I don't know. Like, you've got Henry Davis does look to be the primary catcher over Yasmani Grandal, but until Henry Davis does, you know, shows anything in the majors, I don't think you go there. Nick Gonzalez returned last week. Might be a decent middle infield ad for you, but outside of that, it's we're playing out the string here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Dom in the chat comes with a great singer here. Rowdy's two more appearances away from getting pitcher eligibility.
That's it's a made up stat.
Yeah, but that's still so funny.
It's believable.
Yep, 100% believable the way things are going in that neck of the woods there. San Diego Padres, they have five whopping games this week. They get two at the Seattle Mariners, three at the San Francisco Giants, two lefties, three righties. Tatis is back, but other than that, Kim might be back next week. That's still a might. He's just starting to get things going. So anything of interest for you here?
No. I mean, really, really like zero movement on this roster. I mean, like Mason McCoy is playing shortstop. You don't want to go there. Yu Darvish is back, so there's that.
54% rostered Yu Darvish.
That's it.
Yep. That's one to target, folks.
That Seattle start on Tuesday for Yu Darvish could be good if he can go five.
And then the following week he gets Houston and Chicago White Sox in a two step.
All right. I will be checking my leagues to see if I typed him in. You write him down.
Yep, I'm putting my list together of all the guys I like to look at after the show. Yep.
Put in that Rolodex. D is after C before E. So put Darvish in there.
I chisel them down. I can't reorganize things. It just doesn't work. All right. San Francisco Giants, they have six games coming up this week, all at home. They've been home a lot lately. It's been pretty strange. Three against Milwaukee, three against the Padres, six righties on tap. Lamont Wade hit an absolute moonshot into the Cove on Wednesday. That was fun to see. Doesn't do that often, but has that in him. What stands out to you here is I am the Giants fan, so I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, you're the Giants guy, so I won't say much. Other than I will say center fielder Grant McCray still isn't playing every day against righties.
Yeah, he's cooling down too.
A bunch of questions. Yeah, I mean, when you have the plate approach of that Grant McCray has, you're gonna have some ups and downs. So I don't know. I mean, your lefties are like what, Conforto and the aforementioned Lamont Wade.
I'll throw Yaz out there right now. He's streaky and he's streaking well. He's leading off. I saw him hit his 100th career home run the other day. He had another one, I believe it was Tuesday night for Yaz. But if we date back to like the 24th, just an arbitrary number here, he's actually produced. So that is his last nine games, he's hitting .281 with four home runs. So walking 15, almost 16%, striking out 18%. So I'd throw Yaz out there in a week like this. He could be something of some sort of interest. Maybe deep leagues only, but Yaz would be a guy for me.
He's basically not rostered in 12 teamers.
He's free.
Yeah, I like it.
He's free. All right, Seattle Mariners, they have six games coming up this week, all at home, three versus San Diego, three versus Texas, two lefties, four righties. What do you got for San Diego?
Seattle.
Sorry, Seattle. Sorry. Yes,
they play each other.
Yeah, they play San Diego.
I mean, so JP Crawford's back, has taken over the leadoff role. So Victor Robles, who's still hitting quite well, has been moved down. He's hitting like sixth, seventh, but I don't really care too much about that. Yeah, I don't agree with it, but JP Crawford is their, that's their guy. That's their leadoff guy. That's where he goes. So Julio Rodriguez, I know this isn't fab worthy, but starting to get a little hot recently. Randy Arozarena, absolutely not since the trade. That has been ugly. In terms of fab this week, I mean, you got to be real desperate for like Luke Rayleigh, but all the other, again, first baseman on every team, I think you got to, really all the previous first baseman I mentioned, I'd go over Luke Rayleigh this week. So no, I don't really have much on the Mariners. It's 4.5 back on Houston. Bats need to wake up, and they have not all season.
They have not indeed. Would you drop Randy?
No. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah, I just drafted him.
Yeah, I know.
Seventh round. That might be worse than your Justin Steele injury pick.
Oh, it is. St. Louis Cardinals, 6 games coming up this week. 3 at home for Cincinnati, 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays. 1 lefty, 5 righties for St. Louis. But again, it's St. Louis. So what are we looking at here?
Your boy Pedro Páez, you picked up, right? And Tout.
And Tout picked him up, double donged.
Double dong, so catcher option there. Jordan Walker was called back up this week, and I believe has started all but one game.
Yep, he's getting majority of playing time, as they said, so that's good.
Which is what he needs to do. I have no idea what to do. Feels like Jordan Walker's 26, 27 years old. He's still just 22, but I can't really recommend him. I mean, 6-for-21 this week with a home run and a steal. So, you know, there is that for Jordan Walker. If you need third base and you're desperate, you never know when this could go off with Jordan Walker. It's just St. Louis needs to play him every day.
Yeah. Walker did like all of his damage in one game. That's what, and he had 4 or 5 hits in one game, and it just skews the lines. Cause I was looking at him the other day going, yeah, the rest of the game is not so much. Yeah, so that's kind of
good calls.
See how that one, goes on that one, but yeah, I will say this. I don't know if it's in the chat. I see something about
there's Bella. Something in the chat you want to bring up. I know.
No, I don't know which one he's talking about here. I was gonna give you kudos that Goldie's actually hitting the ball right now. He's playing really well, so hopefully you stuck with that. You might get to be like close to a runner up in that bit, but
he might approach Christian Walker by the end of the year.
After his month IL stint, he might get close.
But no, speaking of beer bets, Dom in the chat, I know we passed the Dodgers already. Can we revisit Will Smith? I almost drove off the road a month ago when Bubba said to drop Will Smith, but he's still been awful. And Michael responds with surprise, Bubba let him go. There's a pod bet there. So Dom, a couple, maybe a month ago, is Austin Wells against Will Smith rest of season. Bubba's cleaning me up on that one right now. I took Will Smith.
I'm a very sarcastically person, guys. I don't have to give him a hard time all the time when, you know, most of the time it goes in my favor, so it's not as fun. But I say most of the time. I still never had golf paid for me, so that's different. But yeah, it's all good. The noons will taste great.
Tampa Bay Rays.
They got 7 games coming up this week. They got 3 at the Phillies, 3 at the Guardians, 2 lefties, 5 righties. I have not a whole lot on Tampa.
No, so I alluded to this earlier with the White Sox had not being the worst offense over the last month. It is the Tampa Bay Rays by actually pretty good margin. So I don't have much on the Tampa Bay lineup, but if we are to look and see who we are streaming against,
they're all rostered.
Yeah, a bunch of rostered guys, isn't it? Except for there's Lively again. There's Ben Lively with a 2-step against the White Sox and Rays. That's a beautiful two-step coming up. And I know we'll finish out the show with 2-steps, but I like that. But yeah, everyone else, Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez, Wheeler. Cobb is not universally rostered, so talked about Cobb earlier. If that happens, that's a good stream. Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, and then Lively. So take that.
Quite a lively chat we got here. To Texas Rangers, they have 6 games this week, all on the road, 3 at Arizona, 3 at Seattle. All right-handed pitching facing the Texas Rangers, the Corey Seager-less Texas Rangers. So how excited are you to go put Fab's bin on Josh H. Smith?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him at the top. I think more just a plug-in guy. I mean, I have him in Tout Wars. I've kept him. I mean, we have unlimited IL, as you know, in that league. So I've had the space to be able to do so. That's all I had on the hitter side. We do get DeGrom back most likely next week. So it was kind of funny, like, or interesting in terms of Fab, or like they were debating whether DeGrom would pitch in the majors this coming weekend, which would, if it was Saturday, make him eligible in NFBC leagues and a lot of leagues where he has to be on the active roster. DeGrom is going to make his last rehab start on Saturday. So that just pushes out DeGrom's availability in Fab bidding one more week. So probably in a lot of leagues, you cannot bid on DeGrom, even though he is coming back next week, most likely, if the last rehab start goes good.
That's a great point. Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games coming up next week, all at home, three versus the Mets, three versus the Cardinals, three lefties, three righties. Boo-hoo.
Yes, boo-hoo. Like, actually, in a righty-heavy week, Addison Barger's decent. Yep. Will Wagner's not playing enough, but showing some pop in the majors so far, but neither of those guys, when Toronto's playing three righties, I don't think you can do that. So,
yeah, I know their lineup's getting a lot better. There's life to be had there for fantasy, just not the week for it by any means.
Agreed.
All right, last team we have here, the Washington Nationals, six games this week, all at home, three versus Atlanta, three versus Miami, one lefty and five righties. And I'm telling you, this Nationals offense is fun for now and for the future, but not sure a whole lot of stuff we can do here besides our same two guys I think we mentioned every single week.
Yeah, really, again, Uncle Ted's boy, Jose Tenia, 38% rostered in 12 teamers.
There you go.
Decent K rate, hitting for some power, 16% barrel rate. And then if you need stolen bases, I will throw Jacob Young out there. But 86%, God, 86% rostered in 12 teamers, Jacob Young. People must need steals.
I was going to say Andrés Chaparro.
And Chaparro, yep.
Yeah, 13% roster. He went deep on Thursday. So he's another guy that stands out to me there. And, as much as we gave him a hard time, Corbin gets Miami next week. If you go deeper on this, he gets the Cubs the following week and then Kansas City. At least next week he's serviceable. And I'll throw DJ Hurz out there again. The dude keeps pitching not outstanding but pretty good. He's got Miami, then a two-step next week with the Mets and the Cubs. And then Philadelphia down the stretch. So maybe these Washington guys are good for next week, and that's about it.
Yeah. So agreed.
All right. Any final thoughts on the schedule on hand here? Or are you ready to talk some CBS guys to see how many we got right on this one?
Real quick, the Boston Red. So this has just come up in the chat, Michael and Steven. Boston Red Sox low-key have been terrible.
Yes, they lately. Have. Yes, they have.
And especially against where's my live bloom board here? Especially against lefties, a 238 WOBA, which is just terrible. Absolutely terrible for the Red Sox against lefties over the last month, which further bolsters my case for Cade Povich next week, who faces Boston.
Big plus for Povich. They get Nestor, Rodon, they're all rostered, but Casey Schmidt gets them if you want to get frisky. I know it's not a lefty, but Boston has struggled a ton. Like Pittsburgh versus lefties, they get no lefties this week, but my God, if you see that going forward, striking out over 33% of the time versus lefties, it is ridiculously bad.
Yep. Agreed. I see that.
All right. You ready to talk some CBS on the week here to see the most added players on CBS?
Whoa, Jordan Walker. There he is.
People love their prospects, man.
Is he even a prospect anymore?
He's 22.
He's the Greg Oden.
He is the Greg Oden. He's probably not legally a prospect. I don't know the proper rules on that, but I think people still see him as that top prospect.
So we just talked about Jordan Walker, but I did not realize he was the top CBS ad of the past week. And again, I kind of get it if Cardinals play him every day, and they should.
Yep, I'm with you there. Good to see somehow Victor Robles is still widely available, which is fun, but Miguel Amaya getting some love there again after that big week, but has cooled down quite a bit.
Yes, has cooled off, and this is the somewhat cautionary tale of this exercise is a lot of the guys who were hot last week are risers, you kind of want to get one week ahead of them. Not all of them, but Amaya definitely falls into that tier. There's Kyle Manzardo.
Yep.
Actually, honestly, not a bad combination. So on our CBS grid here, we have the K rate and barrel rate, as well as the stolen bases, which don't apply to Manzardo, but a not bad strikeout rate, double digit barrels for Kyle Manzardo in 101 plate appearances. Starting to warm up there, and gets a good schedule and tons of playing time for Manzardo this coming week.
Yep. Then some of our usual suspects, Jose Tena, Seth Brown, MJ Melendez, seems like they're always on our deep league / partially 12 team ads every week. And look at Jose Tena's barrel right there. That's pretty, pretty good.
Bright green. We don't have an equivalent to rare steak red, but we've got
cash money green. Cash money green.
I'm not saying cash money green, dude.
Make it rain green.
We'll go Oregon green or something. I don't know.
St. Patrick's Day green.
All right, let's. You're striking out big time. You're about 0-4 there.
This is how you brainstorm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We need to do more of that.
Yeah. After that, it's a lot of streaming. Mickey Moniak's down there. Rizzo's down there. Perdomo's still somehow available. I've been talking him up for a while. So what else are you seeing on this list?
Oregon Duck Green. I like that, Dom. We're gonna roll with that. Since right. I was just at the game and almost saw them lose to Idaho, by the way.
Yep.
That was crazy. Which names you just rattle off? Mickey Moniak?
Mickey Moniak, Rizzo, yep. Perdomo. Those are guys we've been talking about for at least a couple weeks. But then a lot of just streaming. This is September, guys, it looks like.
Agreed. Roman Anthony's interesting on here. I don't think Roman Anthony gets a call up
I don't think
September,
so
but he is hitting, I think, a few hits tonight in AAA, ascending rapidly, and will be being drafted in offseason draft and holds for sure. I mean, we started off the show with Randall Grichuk. He is a riser technically from 1-3%, but until he plays against right-handed pitching, I don't like that. So
there's another hat tip to Will Wagner, looking at that profile right there.
Yeah, man, look at that.
That's good.
I mean, we do have it's only 66 plate appearances, but when I say look at that for the podcast crowd, it's an Oregon Duck Green 17% K rate and a double digit barrel rate for Will Wagner, who has not shown the power in the minor. So I'm a little skeptical. It's at 66 plate appearances that's holding me back, but he has hit well. It's just the playing time's not there. And Toronto only gets 3 righties this week.
And one more before we switch over, if you want, just Kyle Stowers is at the bottom there. A lot of strikes, but good barrel. Like he had, I watched him at a 3-run homer to straightaway center field on Sunday, and he had a good week in Coors prior, like a series in Coors prior to that. So there might be something there in a deeper league, and with Stowers, be optimistic at least, depending on what your format is. But the one thing I'll say about the Marlins, I meant to say before, is they have like a low strikeout rate this year. I'm thinking, how do the Marlins have a low strikeout rate? Well, watching that game on Sunday, they swing at nearly every first pitch. You don't get to work counts against the Marlins. It's pretty wild watching those. They're a bunch of young hitters that just go hacking at the plate.
Or they just want the games to be over quickly at this point.
Could be. I just think they're so young that it's like, I remember in Little League, it's like the first good pitch you see, swing at it because it might be the only good pitch you hit. So that's like the mentality from when I was a kid. So I wonder if that's what they're utilizing with Miami. It's like, you guys aren't good enough to try to go through a scouting report. Just take that first pitch and go get cracking.
Just go.
Yeah. Pitchers, what do we got here?
All right. You brought up David Festa earlier. Great, great ad. I feel like he's another riser every single week, but now, yeah, starting to maybe get close to graduating from this list, which is 50%. CBS ownership. David Festa is up from 31-43 with just awesome, awesome skills. Anytime you get a 20% K to walk, we love it. And it is backed by the per pitch skill, swinging strike and ball rate. So David Festa continues to be an awesome ad. Dude, there's your guy Corbin, obviously.
Yeah,
added because of the two steps.
It's pink.
Step one of the two step went good. We'll see what step two is, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's Caden Dana of the Angels. We didn't really talk about him. Really, really solid in his debut. 20-year-old pitching prospect, called up from AA. I'm going to watch and root for the best, but fantasy-wise, I'm not going to put too much investment behind him.
Agreed. I don't know too much about about Dana. The debut was good, but still same number of Ks as walks and throw a ton of strikes and pitching. I mean, this was a very aggressive call up for the Angels. So I think this has some somewhat sizable blow up potential as well.
And there's Aroldis Chapman picked up the save on Thursday night. So he looks to be the guy in Pittsburgh. So another guy, if you're looking for saves, Chapman should be available.
Agreed. And we did not cover really many or any closers in our team by team rundown. I don't know if it's that great of a week for
closers. Porter Hodge. Porter Hodge. That's about it.
I mean, you saw your guy live, Dr. Foucher, get a save on Sunday, right?
I was already walking out of the stadium at that point, but
you distanced yourself from him.
Yes, I distanced myself. I felt like I needed a safe space, so I went and got some fresh air.
I think Calvin Fauches, who we're talking about, six saves for the Marlins over the last month, and I'm guessing the guy. Yeah, and the Marlins do get seven games, so we don't really talk about number of games for relievers, but like that is seven opportunities. That is a save chance for Calvin Fauches in Miami.
Yep, I don't hate that shout out at all. He will get plenty of run. And another guy I've written up a few times, I think you have as well. And he might be, let me just check his roster before I completely talk out of my rear end, which I'm good at on this show. He's up to 81% now, but Jason Foley is the dude in Detroit. Like, he is the dude getting saves. Didn't get it on Thursday night, but like he gets like, I'd say at least 2/3 of them. So that's another guy if you're looking for saves down the stretch. But so it's Hodge, Chapman, and company.
Going back to starting pitchers, here's your guy, Reed Detmers, with a lot of green on the skills. Ton of missed bats, throwing strikes. Results have not been there in the majors or the minors. The results in the minors were pretty terrible as well. But the strikeout and walks is what I look at. I don't not look at ERA and surface results. So Reed Detmers, I think we said it's just a one step this week, right? Because the Angels are on a
stage. Unless they change, like maybe Dana gets pulled or something. Like for now, they have a 6-man rotation. He has a one step this week, 2-step next week.
We've got Alex Cobb on here as a riser. We talked about him. Like, I would take Detmers and Cobb and certainly Festa over Rhett Lauder.
100%
forward. I don't know. Okay. You agree with that?
Yes.
The skills results divide so far with Lauder. With the prospect pedigree, I think he's going to be pricey. Maybe not. I mean, he's worth bidding on, but not too much.
Like, I'll take a majority of these streaming pitchers we've talked. I said I take JT Jen over Rhett Lauder. Like, I'm just willing to take these. Boyd. Yeah. If Ben Lively's out there, like, give me a lot of these dudes for cheap over the name value of Rhett Lauder.
Boyd, I believe, gets the White Sox. I think I said that earlier.
Even better.
Yes, he does.
Even better.
Lefty against the White Sox. Matt Boyd this week is an excellent, excellent ad. Zach Patel is on the riser list. He has been god awful lately.
People saw the two step and got excited. That's poor.
Yeah. Cade Povich is on here, a riser from 10% to 13%. Because of that White Sox matchup, but gets a very favorable, I believe, two-step. I just said against the Red Sox. I forget his second one. We'll get to that. But I like Povich. I will continue to roll him out there next week.
Now, I want to highlight Joey Estes. He doesn't have the best matchup this week, so he doesn't get the White Sox. But someone to keep an eye on, he's actually thrown pretty well of late. So I guess I do actually have the schedule up, so see if it's even worth discussing here. But if you're looking for potential dollar stream guys, there it is alphabetically. Not this week, Estes gets Houston, but next week's gets at the Cubs versus the Yankees. Yeah, it's not great either. Final week, it's at Seattle, so that could play. But he's pitched pretty well. Matchups just don't look great down the stretch, so maybe erase that part of the show.
He started against Seattle today and did not pitch well. So,
well, there you go. Problem solved.
But I think in general, I mean, a lot of these pitchers that we've talked about, JT Jinn's down here. Bring up Brandon Herder, who has pitched well lately. I think there's actually a decent number of starting pitcher streams, depending how deep your league is. Like, it seems like the more attractive side of the FAB ledger is pitching as opposed to any kind of impact bats this week.
Yep. Stream and pray, everybody. Stream and pray that time of the year.
Pray hard. Never mind.
Continue. Where were you going with that one, Ryan? You ready to talk two steps for the week?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's do some two-steps, my friend. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks because they don't have one. Atlanta Braves, you're starting Charlie Morton versus Cincinnati and versus the Dodgers?
Yeah.
He's been really good. Povich, I know you're already starting him against Boston and Detroit, so that's an easy one.
Yep.
Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck, Baltimore at the Yankees.
Man.
That's not good.
It's not great. It's not good either.
I would sit both personally, but I'm a little more against these guys than you are.
Yeah, I'd probably roll them both in 15s, but speaking of prayer, that would be needed here.
15 is fair, because your options are limited, but 12s I definitely would not be.
Would you go Povich over Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck this week?
Yeah, yes, I would. I'd go Ben Lively over them as well.
Okay. All right, I like it.
Chicago Cubs, Kyle Hendricks at the Dodgers at Colorado. My God.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Cincinnati, you got Nick Martinez at Atlanta at Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd roll Nick. I feel like Nick Martinez is a two-step every week, but maybe
it's because he keeps, they keep moving the rotation around, giving guys extra days off. It's been like
every week, this guy is a two-step.
Like last week, they activated Brandon Williamson and called up Rhett Lauder. Like it's just something every week with these guys.
So the actual odds of Martinez making this two-step.
There's the real thought process there. So, because they are going to start rolling a six-man rotation soon to make things even more fun when Hunter Green returns, potentially next week. But, Nick Martinez at Atlanta, at Minnesota, I agree. What about Rhett Lauder at St. Louis, at Minnesota?
I would say in 15s only. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I'm very skeptical. Tanner Bibee, you're starting. I think we're both on the Ben Lively at White Sox at versus Tampa thing. Yes.
Anyone who has Tanner Bibee, you're licking your chops this week. And yes, on Ben Lively. Not a good pitcher lately, but those matchups are as good as you can get.
It looks like Antonio Sensatella is making a return to the bigs. Does he come back to the rosters at Detroit and versus the Cubs?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And
neither did I.
Don't really care.
Nope. Nick Nastrini versus Cleveland versus the A's.
My guy, don't Nastrini me. Yeah, he's back. Me.
Well done.
My man is 0-7 with a 7.79 ERA. I think I had six because I watched he started against Povich this week. I think he walked six guys.
It was rough.
He looked terrible. That was the Alex Fast broadcast.
Yes. When the White Sox went full White Sox.
When the White Sox went. What a quote. What a quote.
See, that's something I would say on the show, but I think on national television, you'd be in trouble. I'm so proud they said that on national television. So,
yeah, that was awesome. Great. Kevin Brown.
Yep. Detroit Tigers, Keiter Montero versus Colorado versus Baltimore.
No. I mean, Colorado Road Rockies are decent. So if you're not in a weekly league, maybe there, but not, I don't know. He's not that good.
Brady Singer at the Yankees at Pittsburgh. Pretty sure you're going with that.
Yep.
You might get a Spencer Arrighetti two-step with Ronel Blanco out, but you're starting that anyways.
Yes.
Nothing there. Marlins, Belazo, and Aller at Pittsburgh at Washington.
I don't know. Are these
Milwaukee?
Guys? I don't know much about Aller.
Yeah, you can haul it away on that one. Milwaukee Brewers, Savali at the Giants at Arizona.
Anytime you can start Cy Volley.
Even with Arizona on this?
I don't know if I would. At Arizona's freaking
remember the brutal. Home road splits he's showing with Brewers? Just throwing that out there. Small yeah. sample.
No, I think yeah. I'd hate to say I think I'd shy away from Cy.
That's he's more like Shy Volley this week. Well done. I'll see myself out. The Mets, Blackburn at Toronto, at Philly. I think we said no on that one.
Right. Agreed. Paul Blackburn.
Yep, Rodon, you're starting. Sears, you're starting. Sears is another guy that's had a two-step like every week and has not gotten it yet.
So Sears, you're streaming, really. I mean,
I'm playing him pretty much every week right now. It's at Houston at the White Sox.
He's 82% rostered in 12 teamers. I did not think it was that high.
He's returned from the IL, he's been very, very good.
Okay. Yep, all right, good.
Christopher Sanchez, you're rolling with. Paul Skeens, you're rolling with. George Kirby, good or bad, you're rolling with. Robbie Ray, if he returns, looks like it's Milwaukee and the Padres at home. That is rough.
That's rough. And yeah, will he make that Tuesday start? I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard any updates on him yet, so that's pretty bullish. Just figures Tuesday already.
But that, I mean, that is one. If you look at your categories, if you need Ks and you've got some flexibility in whip and ratios, I mean, two starts of Robbie Ray. I don't know how long he goes, especially the first start coming off the IL. I mean, that could be 14, 15 strikeouts. So,
Yep. We'll see on that one. Tampa Bay, Jeffrey Springs, and Taj Bradley at Philly at Cleveland.
That's a tough two step, but yeah, you start both of these guys. Bradley's, I don't know how to predict him, but yeah, you roll with him.
Yep. Seven innings, like four runs and 10 Ks today. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Nathan Eovaldi, you're rolling with Chris Bassitt versus the Mets versus St. Louis.
Yeah, I think I'd do it.
I deep league only for me. If you have better options than 12s, take a better option.
Yep.
Washington, Mackenzie Gore versus Atlanta versus Miami.
Pitched very well today, at least the outing.
His last couple starts have been much better compared to what he was doing because it was brutal.
Yeah, man. Beforehand. You're right. Mackenzie Gore, the last, I don't know what he did today. I don't have that in front of me, but his last four starts entering today, and today was a good start. Four walks in his last four outings total. 6Ks, 4Ks, 6Ks, 9Ks. So maybe has figured something out mechanical. I don't know, but I left Mackenzie Gore for dead. He's pitched much, much better lately.
Yep, much better. Hopefully a good way to finish the year because this time last year he was shut down. So hopefully we get to see some more fun there from Mackenzie Gore. All right, that wraps up the two steps. Lots of interesting, a lot of tough ones this week, which is no bueno. We've got a listener question in the chat here from our buddy Michael C. Shallow league question, Ryan. Edmund or Perdomo? The latter hitting much better, but it's head-to-head categories, and Edmund runs more. Perdomo leads off, though. I know my answer, Ryan. What do you like on this one?
I think I'll agree with you. I think I'll go Perdomo. Unless you just, in head-to-head categories, who knows what category you need. I just go Perdomo.
Yep, I still go Perdomo. I'm 100% on board with that one. And then we had a question on the Twitter from, I'm just going to say no, because I'm not going to say his Twitter handle. give us your top three pitching streams for next week. Daily pickups and daily lineup changes. Finals in my head-to-head league, and my rotation is hospital ambulance emoji, so I'm short on starts. We've mentioned a handful of them, Ryan, so I'll let you start first. What are some of your top streaming options?
Yeah, and it's a little tough because we don't know this Twitter handle user's league size, but a few I'll throw out there. I think streaming wise, Ben Lively, if it's a deeper league, Matthew Boyd, really in any format, but probably your shallower leagues. I'd go Cade Povich. I think that's a good two step against an easy pair of matchups. Yu Darvish, if available, I think is a good streamer coming back. It's a really good matchup. I feel like I'm missing some others, but who have I left out?
The A's, Jen, Beto, Sears, all in play.
Yep.
Going against basically, let's look at the White Sox schedule and stream.
And
the Rays.
Against the Red Sox and anyone against the Rays. I agree. Yes. And that maybe Marlins as well.
Yeah, go to your league and look who is available taking on those guys this week, and then pick your poison. So. All right, Ryan, that'll wrap us up. Only two more Fab Weeks after this one. So we're coming down the stretch here. But final thoughts as we head into the weekend and get ready for the last few weeks of baseball. First full weekend of that other sport, by the way.
Yeah, which is
college football Saturday, though.
Good. Yeah, exactly. The boys are 0-1, but that's okay. Just best of luck in Fab this week. I know September's very difficult. I know a bunch of you all are in playoffs and whatnot. So hope we are able to help, and hopefully you can kind of get that ship these next few weeks in those playoff formats. I know I'm sweating out a couple leagues where it's like there's some money on the line and starting to get to that point where you're looking at live scoring every hour. Standings are still changing, and we're getting to that end of season sweat mode, which is frustrating, but also a fun spot to be in.
It's a great spot to be in. We all say how long and grueling the season is, and in a few weeks we'll be missing it all over again.
Yes.
So
yes,
enjoy it while you can. As much as we like to, you know, make our jabs and jokes and all that fun stuff, And don't give up yet. If you're fighting, keep fighting. And in my personality, even if I'm not going to win, I keep fighting for the to learn, to prepare for the future years, plus keep the integrity of the league. That's just my two cents. But to each their own. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you guys on Tuesday with some more fantasy baseball action for you and a few more episodes to go to round out the season before, we start talking 2025. So we're not that far off, folks. But until next time, make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Entrick. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 167. Catch y'all next time.